Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Tampa. In Tampa, around Tampa, and around the world. This is Tampa Delphia Paul talking Eagles. Probably going to be a short show tonight. The Eagles did not play Sunday because of the bye. There's a little bit of news, but for the most part, look forward instead of back, and not much evaluation to talk about. Questions, of course, but we always have that. Is there anything new that we could bite into that we haven't taken a look at already? To the fan the microphone, so feel free to call 657-383-1644. I'll repeat, 657-383-1614. Gets you right to our switchboard here at our studio, and you can make your points about the Eagles. Let's tell everyone what we think about what's going on with our 5-4 season so far, right? But also, this is all about the men and women who make up Tampa Delphia. Tampa Delphia is a group of diehard fans here in the Tampa Bay area. The homeland, Philadelphia, PA, Jersey, Northeast Pennsylvania, Delaware, and other points in between. There's an awful lot of folks coming to Philadelphia. Hang out for a game or two, watch the games with us, cheer, break bread with us, and watch Sunday. Philadelphia is held at Mugs in Clearwater, and we announced the opening of our second location. You will be the first to know toward the end of the show where that location is. We are not going to the Jazz House anymore. Their numbers just didn't work. They didn't have enough headcount to justify all the hard costs that they faced when they had to open up and be a place for us on a Sunday afternoon. They are a supper club. They are a nightclub. They're open for supper, which is a very, very late dinner, and also some live music along with a lot of drinks until 2, 3, 4 a.m., and they were not really set up to be a restaurant at 1 o'clock for an NFL kickoff. Run by Philadelphia diehards, they gave it a try. We hoped it worked, and we still have a lot of love and respect for the folks at the Jazz House and for the Jazz House nightclub. But the numbers are the numbers, and it's business and it's risk. And you have to manage your business. You have to manage your risk, and we respect the fact that this time around it didn't work out for them. But who knows in the future as we build a park base out there in that side of Tampa, that we may not, it may not be over. We may be back to the Jazz House. But Mugs and Clearwater is it. And we are going to announce a new location in Brandon at the end of the show, as I've said. On to the show. You don't tune in to hear me talk. You want to hear what's going on with the Eagles. I am not an insider. I don't know anybody on the team. I don't really talk to anybody. I don't listen to the Philadelphia stations. Don't read the Philadelphia papers. Do a lot of analysis. Talk to people and pick up the way they're looking at the game and what they see and maybe what the points of contention are. One big thing I did this weekend or this past week that is not Philadelphia related on my Facebook page of Tampa Delphi Eagles. I put up an article about the NFL being rigged. The article is not fresh, brand new. And there are a lot of people that have thought and wondered, well, are the games controlled? Are they rigged? Does Las Vegas really call a shot on Sunday afternoons? And this article was very illuminating. Not article, it was actually a video clip from YouTube. And the video clip had people talking, actual live video clips of NFL coaches, along with referees, along with players, along with Roger Goodell himself, making statements that, yes, it's sports entertainment. We try to nudge the teams so we get the best ratings, and that's the way it works out. It's not about fair competition or amateur-level sports. Best player wins. It's not about that at all. It's sports entertainment more along the lines of WWF, which is World Federation Wrestling. Surprise, surprise. They finally admitted what we, several of us, already suspected, and I'm sure even a very few knew. But that's up on my Facebook page, Tampa Delphi Eagles. The Eagles have had a bye week this week, and not much happened. We re-signed Barrett Brooks to a 4-year extension on his deal and made him the highest paid guard in the NFL. And he is probably the pivot man on that offensive line now. Jason Kelce is getting a little long in the tooth. We might get another year out of him, but Kelce's the brains of that unit. And boy, it's going to be a tough year when he goes away, and we've got to break in somebody new and maybe watch the center of the line not produce as much as it could. The line itself is holding up well with Barrett Brooks. Jason Peters, as you know, is out. Jordan Mailata, who was scheduled to replace him, is still on injured reserve. No word on him except for the fact that he will be returning this season. So that conversation is parked. However, number three for that slot at left tackle is none other than Mr. Dillard, who was our number one draft pick. Andre Dillard was taken in the first round by the Philadelphia Eagles last spring. And Andre Dillard has been playing pretty well. He's been actually getting a little bit better in game to game. The offensive line coach, Jeff Stoutland, has not decided to name him as a starter. He is sticking with Jason Peters as much as he possibly can. Peters, as you know, has a durability problem. He gets injured and has to come out for a little bit every game, in and out, like it's chronic. And Dillard keeps going back in. Dillard is building up some charisma, some rhythms, and some work ethic with the other guys on the line doing it this way. But he's showing visible marked signs of improvement. Jeff Stoutland gets very vocal about replacing Jason Peters. He does not want to do it. He wants Peters in there. He is the leader of the offensive unit. He's a loud voice in the locker room, and he is one of the hearts and souls of the Eagles offense. Bottom line, remember last week when I said, who made the decision to retain these guys that keep getting hurt, where we're only getting like half our production out of them because of injuries or other reasons, and lo and behold, it may be offensive line coach Stoutland, who is clinging on to Peters at every breath. But, you know, if you put yourself in Stoutland's shoes, you don't want to put in a lot of time and work breaking in a new guy. The more that you can get out of Peters, the more training and film knowledge you can give his replacement as he steps up. That was the Jordan Mailata project that supposedly was getting some legs under it, and who knows where it is right now. That's number one. Number two event with the Philadelphia Eagles is that, and this is kind of interesting, Jordan Matthews is back. Jordan Matthews was a pretty good receiver for Philadelphia for a number of years, and Matthews is not that old. He still has some production in him, but the crew we got in there now may not have the legs. You would expect more speed out of Nelson Agholor, but maybe the guy's got the yips. Maybe he's dropping passes he should catch, hearing footsteps, afraid of that hit. Who could blame him? Some of the guys he's out there are gunning for him are pretty heavy hitters, and if you like being healthy, it's a tough way to make a buck. Let's put it that way. Could you do it? Could I do it? I'm built for speed, folks, not for being battered around the field. But Nelson Agholor, wide receivers are pretty fast but wiry bunch. They're not a lot of beef, not a lot of muscle, just a lot of speed and fast reflexes. Good eyesight, great instincts, usually. But, and there's other factors in it, making a wide receiver what a wide receiver is. But we got Jordan Matthews along with Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Agholor in an effort to replace the injured DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson, as you know, had abdominal surgery. I believe it was today or maybe it was last Tuesday. My schedule has been so cluttered, I'm losing track of the dates and also the weeks. We're halfway through November already, folks. Time is flying fast. He had his surgery, and he is expected to come back maybe this coming game against New England, from the latest that I saw from Coach Peterson. Usually I just shrug off a lot of what coaches say, but when they talk about player returns and health, that's something that they have to be upfront about. So we're taking a good look at that and keeping our fingers crossed that DeSean Jackson is not going to rush it, but when he takes the field, he's going to be sturdy enough to give us at least a good 15 minutes during a 60-minute game, you know? Okay, so what else? Let's talk about our wide receivers coach. There was an interview this past week with our wide receivers coach because, according to NFL rules, the head coaches have to make the position coaches accessible to the media. Therefore, you have interviews with the wide receivers coach, the defensive line coach, etc. Our wide receivers coach is named Carson. I'm not sure how to say his last name. It's either Welch or Welsh. W-E-L-C-H, like Welch's grape juice. pardon me. He's satisfied with the performance of the wide receivers when, in fact, almost to a man, everybody seems to see the Eagles wide receivers regressing instead of improving, which is explaining some of Carson Wentz's theatrics when trying to make his statistics this year. Wentz is trying to put together some pretty good results on the field, and it's hard to do when his wide receivers are not quite up to par. As you know, the two that have been out there have been Jeffrey and Agholor, and Agholor has been a monster target a lot this year. Ertz has performed very well when he's been out there, so has Goddard. Goddard has stopped the drops, and drops and fumbles were two of the things that were hurting us a lot early on in the season. That seems to have been buttoned up. But the wide receivers coach that we have is a new guy in the job, and the old guy is now our offensive coordinator, Mike Groh. G-R-O-H, and Mike Groh was the wide receivers coach under Frank Reich. So I think we got two guys on offense among our coaches that are learning on the job. That hurts a bit, folks. That's kind of like crumbling the foundation from within, and that's never a good thing, but that's what you do. All teams go through it, especially the successful ones, except for Belichick. For some reason, no matter what he has regarding player or coach turnover, they're always consistently, they can sustain year after year after year. And he's got some methods or some processes or systems that he employs to be able to make that continue without fail. Until somebody else figures that out and shares it with the rest of the world, Belichick's going to keep on winning, unless, of course, that article that I put up on Philadelphia Eagles on Facebook is accurate. It's not an article, it's a video, so it's even more enjoyable, and it's not that long. I think it's about 9 minutes. So if you haven't entertained the thought, now's an opportunity for you to hear directly from the horse's mouth. I mean, literally, you can see these people say the words that you're hearing about the game being controlled. Okay, again, 657-383-1614 if you'd like to call in. We are through the first 15-minute segment of our show, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit, take a break and a breather here for just a second, to thank you for coming out to Tampa, Dolphia, making us who we are and what we are. We have a great crowd, game after game after game after game. We have a lot of families, a lot of men, women, children, brothers, sisters, daughters. It's very child-friendly. We leave the drunks and the brawling to other places. I'm not saying that all Eagles fans do that, and I'm not saying that that happens everywhere. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that, you know, if you're going to do that, ours is not the place for you. If you're there to relax, unwind, watch the Eagles game, cheer it. Cheer the team with a lot of good fellow Eagles fans, then we're your place. Good food, good drink. We go to Mugs in Clearwater, which is on 58th Street. Actually, it's in the Icott Business Park. Take Ulmerton Road. It's a major east-west route between Tampa and the Gulf of Mexico. When you get to the light of 58th Street, almost in the heart of Clearwater, you have to make a turn going north from whatever direction you're coming. Whether you're coming from the east or coming from the west, you got to make a turn and go north. As soon as you do, there's a little street that takes you back to some shops. Take that turn. Mugs is right in front of you. And Mugs has great food, great hosts. They put on a great game day event for us, and we very much appreciate their partnership with us. It's working out very, very well. Again, we're also going to announce, before we close the show, our new partner in Brandon to replace the Jazz House. We're looking forward to an exciting relationship and a prosperous one for both parties concerned, them and us, for our Eagles fans. The whole purpose of it is to put together a good game day. As you know, we give away our prizes. You don't have to buy route tickets. Don't spend a buck. Don't spend a bunch of bucks somewhere else getting prizes. When you come to Tampa Dolphia, you get a ticket. You can win a prize. Your ticket makes you eligible for every prize that's picked. So keep your money in your pocket. Enjoy your hard-earned dollars. And come to Tampa Dolphia. Get a little extra bang for no buck. Ha! I think I'll make that my slogan. The men and women in Tampa Dolphia will be glad to meet up with you, and we'll enjoy your company. We've had a lot of new friendships develop over the years, and I look forward to continuing that. It's great to see these people. I've really got some good ones. The Miami game is only 2 weeks away. I still have some tickets left. If you're interested, please send me a note to paul@tampadelphia.com. I have two pairs of tickets, and if you're interested in the bus trip down to Miami and back, it's only $40 per person, $20 down, $20 back, and I'll tell you, that is going to be a money well spent, keep you off the road for quite a while. So once again, paul@tampadelphia.com is the way to reach me there. Okay, back to our show. If you haven't known it already, the Eagles game following New England, this game coming up Sunday is a 4 o'clock game. But the game after that was an 8 o'clock game with the Seattle Seahawks. Guess what? The NFL said, hey, Philadelphia, you're not doing so hot. We want to change places. We want to put San Francisco on at 8 o'clock, Green Bay and San Fran. We want to slide them into that game slot, and we want to put you back at 1 o'clock. Hey, all right. That's what we like. That's what we want. So this coming week, I will be at Brandon. And the week after for the Seattle game, I will be at Mugs for the 1 o'clock game. Just so you know. And mark your schedules. Change your plans. If you were planning on heading out that particular Sunday, well, you know, maybe now you want to change your plans to see the Eagles. Now, I know how it goes. If the Eagles take the New England Patriots, we are going to be jammed. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Because at that point, we will be 6-4, and we will be in the race for a playoff berth. Right? Right. If, in fact, we lose and we go to 5-5 with New England, which is what most people probably expect, we're still in the hunt for a playoff spot. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. Traditionally, 10 wins gets you into the playoffs. It probably wins the division. And with you-know-who losing this past weekend, it makes the race even tighter for that first-place spot. So our game against New England could be another one of those revenge games that, oh, Philadelphia faces, just like we faced Minnesota and Chicago. We got past Chicago. We didn't get past Minnesota. In fact, they trounced us pretty good just as payback for that disastrous loss we gave them a few years back. Here comes New England, and they had an even bigger loss to us a few years back, and I'm sure they're going to have a few things up their sleeve that they want to pull. Maybe they'll do with Philly in our own stadium on us. Don't know. That's been speculated upon. We'll see. There's not that much we can talk about that the Philadelphia Eagles can do to improve their season at this point. We're more than halfway through the season. There's no players out there or available that can really help us out on such short notice. Jordan Matthews is an exception. He's played with us before. He knows the playbook. He can come in and be productive reasonably quick, right? Right. However, if we get somebody for the defensive backfield, if we get a lineman, maybe not. They're going to have to stumble around, get a lot of reps. They're going to have to do a lot of hitting, and they're going to have to get a lot of coaching. And it's not going to show for a couple of games. So there's not much that we can do from player acquisition. All we can do is just use the guys we've got to the best of our abilities. And what it all falls down onto are the coaches at this point. Players can do only what the players can do. The coaches are the ones that have to make sure the players execute. The only way to do that is to make sure they know what they've got to do. Make sure they know how to run the route, how to do the block. They have to know the signals. They have to be able to read the defenses or the offenses, depending on what they're seeing out there on the field, to keep their wits about them, to make them more productive. And that's on the coaches. And that's why having new coaches cutting their teeth on the job is not necessarily the best situation to be in. So, that said, we've got the game against the New England Patriots coming up Sunday. It's another one of these positions where Doug has 2 weeks to get ready for this game. 2 weeks. If we come out and we look like we're hobbling around on one leg for three quarters before we start to wake up and do anything, fur's going to fly. Telling you right now, the media is just going to let it go. Doug, it's been 2 years since you did squat. What's wrong, Doug? Tell us what's wrong, because they're not afraid to clamp their jaws on him anymore in the press conferences. So Doug has had more than enough time to look at film, powwow with his assistant coaches, come up with what they think is a good game plan or a good script to be able to make the first quarter a good scoring quarter for Philadelphia and keep our offense on the field and score points. Man, that's a lot to ask for. Doug Peterson is not Bill Belichick, but he was compared to him a few years back. He beat Bill Belichick. Boy, that's a heavy cloak to carry on your shoulders. But he did. And now he's got to live up to that. So, and not only did he have 1 week or 4 days to do it, he had the benefit of 2 weeks. He had a bye week. His players are rested. No beating on bones and bodies. These guys took a breather. As a matter of fact, Nelson Aguilar is from Tampa, where we're at. And Nelson Aguilar was spotted around the University of South Florida here in Tampa. By someone I know who talked to him. You know, he had things to say with Nelson Agholor. They weren't football related, but just to let you know that they weren't in Philly doing all work. Apparently they got a few days off where they could soon go home, see family, whatever the deal is. Agholor came back to Tampa. So I'm sure he's going to be flying back up to get ready for the Patriots, but hopefully the more film time that they have, the better off they are. So the coaches can go over it and review it a second time. Is this the right plan? Are we doing the right plays? Because all the coaches can do is tweak a few plays, maybe get better clues and signals on how to prevent the other team from scoring, better use of their talent from the guys that they have in there now. No point in putting together a play if the guys that are playing are that are supposed to execute can't. And they don't have the skill set to be able to do that. Now, that's on the coach. Coach has to have the eyes and the smarts to know that. So everything that's going to happen in the season from this point forward is on Doug Peterson and his staff, period. I don't want to hear a thing about players. Yeah, I know players take plays off, but you know what? That's on the coaches, too. That's on the coaches, too. A little cold, right? A little harsh. But, hell, man, you only get 16 weeks to show results for your money. And as fans, what do we spend our money on? Do we spend our money on game tickets? Yes. Do we spend our money on merchandise? Yes. Do we spend our money on travel for airplanes, buses, and hotels? Yes. Do we spend our money on NFL packages so we can see the games? Yes. Do we spend our money on products that are advertised during the games? Yes. So you know what? We've got some skin in the game too. It's not as much as, let's say, the sponsors of the NFL. But you know what? Players owe us too, just like they owe the sponsors. Nah, nobody is laying any rose petals beneath your feet when you walk down the street. You better work, sucker. Right? That's Philadelphia. So, you keep your head down, your mouth shut, and you do your job. Simple as that. What else have we got coming up? We're almost into the final 15 minutes of our show. I invite your call. My squeaky chair. 657-383-1614. And tell us what you think about the Eagles. Where do we go next? There was an article I did see as I was cruising around. I had one of my spiders and robots cruising the web for Eagles articles, and I skim a lot of headlines. And one of them was talking about who the best players are for the Philadelphia Eagles for their 2020 draft. I said, what? We're looking at April already? What? It's not even Thanksgiving yet. We just got out of Halloween. And they're talking about next year, who are we going to get? Well, all that's going to be changed five times before that day dawns. And it's all a crapshoot anyway. Guys you think are going to work out don't, or they work out in different ways with other teams because it's a better system or a better coach or the guys around them play a certain way that is more friendly to this guy that you just got that didn't work out somewhere else, and he blossoms. A lot of good reasons why guys deserve second and third chances in sports. It's a lot of it is chemistry, and a lot of it is system and process, and a lot of it is just right place, right time. There you go. So we're going to take a break, and we might as well just let you know that our new location for Tampa Delphia 2 in Brandon is going to be drumroll. Mugs and Jugs inside the Brandon Mall. They are connected to Mugs in Clearwater. And the bottom line on this is that, once again, we just walk into a perfect situation. We have our own private space within Mugs and Jugs. We have a stage. We have a microphone if it's needed. A stage if it's needed. We have TVs everywhere. We have an incredibly big and complete menu, and I'm not joking. We also have plenty of servers, and we also have prizes, and we also have parking, and we also have air conditioning. Although it's going to be a little bit cool in Tampa this week because our temperatures are dropping tonight as we speak. And it should warm up by the weekend, I think. And we have all the other intangibles that are necessary. We have a restroom with more than one whizzer. Hey, who wants to go out into the parking lot and take a whiz? Yeah, go into the construction portalette. Hey, honey, want to come to the game with me? You might have to pee in a little box. Yeah, big spenders. That's a real classy move for a classy, right? So, Mugs and Jugs it is in the Brandon Mall. And I've talked to the owner. I've talked to one of the two owners. And I've also talked to the general manager. And the staff is excited that we're coming in. So if you're in the area, if you want to do some shopping, you know, you could go to the game at Mugs and Jugs while the wife patrols the mall for Christmas shopping. Now that, and then you could have dinner together afterwards at Mugs and Jugs. Now that might be a plan. It just might. I mean, you got to think of her. She's got to get out of the house. If she's taking care of your kids, making you dinners, doing your wash, keeping the house up, hey, treat her. You know, don't worry about that extra $20 or $25. Take care of her. Give her some free time. Let her laugh and relax. And let her enjoy a little Sunday off just like you do. She needs it. So I encourage that. All right. Final 15 minutes. You want to take some stats? Because I think I do. All right. As a team, the best news is that we're the 11th best rushing team in the NFL. We're doing 127 yards per game. Number 11 out of 32 teams. Unfortunately, we're 23rd on passing. Gee, with all the firepower we were going to have this year, that nobody was going to stop us. See what happened? Down to 23rd. Total yards per game between being number 11 rushing and 23rd for passing, we only moved up two clicks to 21. We're the 21st in the league for total yards per game. Yeah, 20 other teams are better than us. And that's what we need to work on, right? So for team leaders, we have Carson Wentz. He's over 2,000 yards. Jordan Howard's our main rusher. No surprise there. 525 yards, but only 525 yards. But Jordan Howard didn't have a full season of being the starting guy out there at running back. Miles Sanders was. Miles Sanders is his own package of production in a dynamite way because the guy is catch him on the fly. The guy can take the handoff. He can break tackles. He's a hell of a runner. So Miles Sanders is not to be downplayed or minimized here at all. I'm excited about both of these guys, Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders. So, but Miles is behind Jordan at this point. Jordan at 525 yards, Miles at 336. Top receiver, who do you think? If you said 86, you're correct. Zach Ertz, 527 yards. He's got 2 yards better than Jordan Howard. Alshon Jeffrey is our second best receiver. Miles Sanders is third. Miles Sanders passed Nelson Aguilar as our receiver. Wow, that's something, little something to pick up on there. On defense, our best sack master is Brandon Graham. He's got 6. Derek Barnett, 3.5. Fletcher Cox, 2.5. Everybody's, what happened to Fletcher Cox? What happened to Fletcher Cox? Well, everybody's on to him. They're double teaming the guy. That's why Brandon's getting through and Derek's making a little bit of penetration too. Interceptions. Rodney McLeod has 1. The guy with 2, linebacker Nathan Njeri. All right, Nate. Nate's got a nose for the intercepted ball. Hopefully we can do better on defense. I remember when we had the unit that picked off more INTs than anybody else in the NFL, and it wasn't even close. And that may have been when we had Bobby Taylor, Andre Waters. We had a good crew back there, right? And now we have, for total tackles, Rodney McLeod, 48. Malcolm Jenkins, 39. And Brandon Graham, 33. Now, it doesn't tell you whether these are solo tackles or combined. Usually they're combined, but just something to know. Passing yards per game, we're 23rd in the league. Rushing yards per game, we're 11th. Total yards per game, we're 21st. And some of the other stats that may or may not be of interest to you. Carson Wentz yards per attempt, 6.8, which tells me it's an early pass. We're trying to gobble up most of those 10 yards to get the first down. So, you know, that's the way I interpret that stat. I could be wrong, and if I am, tell me about it. Rushing, of course, Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, but in third place is Carson Wentz. Yeah. And, you know, some of the other guys, we don't have very many other people rushing the ball after that. We have Boston Scott, which sounds like a movie star name, Boston Scott. And he's got 68 yards. But then Darren Sproles is down, and that's it. Corey Clement is on special teams. And Corey's, I don't know, something going on with Corey. I know it's an injury-related thing, and the guy is, damn it, committed to Philadelphia. And he loves our team, and he really makes an effort to work very, very hard and put in extra work to get back. And I hope he makes it. I don't know that much about a situation, but, you know, Corey Clement deserves every consideration. All right, for receiving, I told you Zach Ertz is up top, Jeffrey second, Sanders third. Aguilar's in fourth place, and then Dallas Goedert. So after that, Matt Collins has been invisible, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is a highly drafted wide receiver that we should expect to see more out of. But he's got a brand new wide receivers coach. And the thing to think about there is that, yeah, he's being coached up and trained, but by who? And is he developing bad habits? Is he being taught the correct way or the incorrect way? How micromanaged is this situation? Because we're talking about a guy's career, and it may take him a long time to shake off some bad habits because, you know, breaking them is not a lot of fun. It's not very easy. And I'm not saying that the wide receivers coach is incompetent or deficient in any way. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just thinking out loud here, and I'm wondering because the whole purpose of the show is to think about the game in different ways, right? So we've got that going on. Kicking Jake Elliott is a monster. The guy is doing, he's still got 53-yard kick. He's 20 of 22 on extra points. Pretty good, right? And he's the most prolific scorer. He has scored more points on the team than anybody else. For returns, it's been Miles Sanders. Corey Clement's back there, but he's only been in four games. Dallas Goedert has been back there as much as Miles Sanders. Sanders returned in 9 games, and Dallas Goedert returned in 8. Goedert only has 16 yards. He only did one kick return. And Miles Sanders has 314 yards on 14 returns in 9 games. Punting Cameron Johnston, as long as it's 60 yards, this kid is money in the bank. Played all 9 games. He's got 1,620 yards already through the air, averaging 47.6 yards a punt. That's more than respectable. On defense, our top tacklers are Randy McLeod, Jenkins, Brandon Graham, Nathan Jerry. Zach Brown, of late, ex-Eagle Zach Brown, is still pretty much up there, along with Rasul Douglas, and then Nigel Bradham, and then Andrew Sendejo, who is also an ex-Eagle. So some of the other guys I'm looking forward to coming back. One of the guys that has not really made much of a splash has been Sidney Jones. For all the hullabaloo that was around when we got Sidney Jones. I kind of expected more, but sometimes injuries come back slow, and maybe that's the case with Mr. Jones. I don't know. I would love to know more, but I'm not in a position to know, and I'm not going to snoop. That's HIPAA-protected. As you know. And let's see. Well, we've got a list of other people there, but that's pretty much the Eagles statistical situation. The only other story that might make of interest would be any upcoming trades that we could get away with, but there's been no rumors in the wind, right? There's a possibility of trading this person for that person or this guy or that guy. I think they're committed to going with what they've got. Bringing in a new guy is too much work at this point in the season, and we're just going to try to focus and get into the playoffs. We're 5-4. If we lose to New England this weekend, I'm not saying we will, but if we do, we'll be 5-5, which means that would be 10 games, 6 games left, right? With five wins, we have to win 5 of the last 6 to win 10. It's going to be a long stretch. We do have to play Giants twice, and we have to play one more game against them, you know. So a lot of people see 3 more wins for us real easy. I don't. Every year you lose a game, you should win, and you win a game, you should lose. And I don't know which one we've played of those 2 yet. I think we're just going to throw our hands up and say, well, how the hell we lose that game? You know Philadelphia. If you've been watching the Eagles as long as I have, you know that there's one. You just go out to the parking lot and you bang your head against the car door. What did they do? What were they thinking? Well, anyway, that's what we've got. All right. It is coming up on 8:15. Folks, we're down to our final 3.5 minutes of the show. I appreciate all the calls during this segment. I just want to tell you that Tampa Delphia is an extraordinary place. Good fans. Look, whether you got the package at home or whether you choose to go to another place, that's your call. It's your life. You make your own heaven. You make your own hell. You make your own mistakes. You find your own answers. I'm telling you got a great head start in Tampa Delphia. We do it just because it's fun. It's as simple as that. I do things because I like to do them or want to do them. I produce other radio shows. In addition to that, I do more than is necessary for Tampa Delphia. You know, buying game tickets, setting up bus runs, and doing other things. I'm an active volunteer at other places, and I do other things for the government of Hillsborough County and for other agencies within Hillsborough County who shall remain nameless. But the bottom line is that I do it because I want to do it or I like doing it, which is usually the case with both. My time is my own. I'm fortunate I'm able to pay all my bills on time in full every month. So I'll keep going with this lifestyle until God changes it for me. That said, we're down to our final few minutes. I'm probably just going to cut the show off, terminate a little bit earlier, but I want to thank you for listening because every week our listenership goes up. I have not mentioned that, so thanks for tuning in. I hope that you're not bored to tears with all of this. The purpose of the show is not to be outrageous or be another Me Too newsy sort of a show, but something that is seen by a fan, analyzed by a fan, put out there for the rest of the fans with maybe a third eye on the game or the team. So that's who we are. That's what we do. And if you like our style, come and visit us. Mugs and jugs. Take your pick. One's in Clearwater, one's in Brandon. So, Philadelphia Paul, I'm going to conclude the show. Say goodnight. I hope you have a great week. Thank you for listening. Tampa Delphia. God bless. Take care.